Hi, listeners. Stories have so much power, and so does whoever controls the narrative. It is time that we dissect and analyze these stories. I am Vipul, and this is Woke Tales. Hi everyone, it's 2022. Happy New Year. I have a super cool story for the first episode of the year. But before that, I'm going to introduce today's guests, hosts of the Fairy Tellers podcast, Katrina and Jeff. Hi, welcome on the show.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
Can you please tell a little bit about yourself and your podcast?
Sure, absolutely. So Jeff and I are friends from way back, and I have a love and obsession with folklore. And so I had gotten really into looking up folklore stories and myths and legends and trying to find out about the cultures that had created them. And so our podcast was kind of a natural progression from that, where instead of me going to all my friends and telling them the stuff that I was researching, I could actually, you know, create it into a podcast. And so our podcast, we will quickly retell stories. I say quickly, but I think Jeff would argue with me. We have a fun time retelling stories. And then we usually are talking about the cultures that the stories come from, what elements inside of the stories reflect those cultures, and what we can learn from those stories.
Yeah, I'm not like a folklore fairy tale person. I am interested in them, though. I feel like I'm kind of just a naturally curious person. And Katrina and I, you know, since way back, have gotten along really well just talking about a variety of topics. And we can talk for hours and hours, as our, you know, 3-hour recording of our most recent episode will attest to. And I'm interested in, you know, cinema, movies, filmmaking. I'm a fan of storytelling, so it's not so far removed from the type of things that I like and I'm interested in. But it does kind of also excite me because it's not something that I'm that familiar with. There's a lot of new things to learn. In addition to just folklore, fairy tales, and the stuff about folklore studies and fairy tale studies, but then the different cultures around the world that I may or may not be familiar with or may think I'm familiar with, but learn all sorts of new things and realize how wrong I was. So it's a fun way to learn and hang out with one of my best friends.
That's awesome. Hanging out while telling stories and discussing them is always fun. I enjoy folklore and stories in general and got more into storytelling with my nieces. They are at an age where they have started reading folk tales and fairy tales. And sometimes when I read a story with them, I'm like, that's a cringy line there. Kind of want to, if not rewrite or change it, but at least question it and analyze that narrative. We can still keep the stories, but probably with an informed lens of inclusive and equality promoting messages.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of value to that.
And it's fun. And I do stories from around the world. So it's pretty cool to learn about cultural and historical context of the story. Which also means that sometimes I struggle with pronunciation of certain words.
Yeah, we struggle with that as well, for sure. Right, Katrina?
Oh, absolutely. Every day of my life. Not even on the podcast, just I'm fumbling through life.
I guess talking about not trying to fumble is a good segue for me to narrate today's story, The Lay of Thrym from the Poetic Edda, hopefully without any fumbles. On that note, it's story time. The Lay of Thrym. When Thor awoke and reached out to grasp his hammer, it was not there. His hammer, the mighty Mjolnir, was missing. He shook his shaggy head and his beard bristled with anger as he groped around him. He shouted to Loki, "My hammer has been stolen. No one on heaven or earth can know what a loss this is for me." they rush to Freya's shining halls. "Freya," said Thor, "will you lend me your feathered coat to help me seek my hammer?" Freya said, "I would lend it to you even if it were made of gold or silver." Then Loki put on the feathered coat and, leaving Asgard, winged his way to Jotunheim, the world of giants. Thrym, the lord of giants, sat upon a mound, smoothing his horse's manes and twisting golden halters for his hounds. He asked the reason for their visit. Loki asked Thrym if he has hidden the Thunderer's hammer. Thrym said, "I have hidden Thor's hammer 8 leagues deep in the earth. No one can win it back from me, unless you bring to me fair Freya as a bride." Loki flew back, the feathered coat rustling. He left behind the world of giants and winged his way back to the world of gods. Thor met him there in the middle court and asked about his hammer. Loki told him that Thrym has his hammer, but no one can win Mjolnir from him, unless they bring him fair Freya as a bride. They rushed to find fair Freya. "Dress yourself in bridal linen," said Thor. "You and I are on our way to the world of giants." At this, Freya foamed with rage. The halls of Asgard shook with her anger. The necklace of the Brisings broke apart. Straight away, all the gods and goddesses gathered to discuss how they could recover Thor's hammer. Heimdall, the fairest of the gods, like all the Vanir, could see into the future. "Let us dress Thor in bridal linen," he said, "and let him wear the necklace of the Brisings. Tie housewife's keys about his waist and pin bridal jewels on his breast. Let him wear women's clothes with a dainty hood on his head." The Thunderer, mightiest of gods, replied, "The gods will call me womanish if I put on bridal linen." Then Loki said, "Thor, be still. With such foolish words, the giants will soon be living here in Asgard if you don't get your hammer from them." So they dressed Thor in bridal linen, tied the necklace of Brising around his neck and the housewife keys about his waist. They pinned bridal jewels upon his breast and dressed him in women's clothes with a dainty hood on his head. Loki said, "I will accompany you as the maidservant. Together, we shall go to Jotunheim." The mountains trembled and the earth burned with fire as they rode to Jotunheim. Thrym, the lord of giants, said to his kin, "Stand up and put the straws on the benches. They are bringing fair Freya to be my bride. I have golden horned cattle grazing in my yard. They are pure black oxen, a joy of giants. I have treasures aplenty and rule over great riches. Freya is the only thing that I lack." Day soon became evening, and the ale was brought to the giant's table. There, Thor ate an ox and 8 whole salmon, in addition to all the dainties that were served to the women. Furthermore, he drank 3 measures of mead. Thrym, the lord of giants, said, "Have you ever seen a bride eat or drink so heartily?" The maidservant wisely answered, "Freya was so eager to come to Jotunheim that she had eaten nothing for 8 nights. Thrym stooped beneath his bride's veil, wanting to kiss her, then jumped back the whole length of the hall. "Why are Freya's eyes so fearful?" he said. "I think that fire is flaming from her eyes." The maidservant wisely answered the giant, "Freya was so eager to come to Jotunheim that she has not slept for 8 nights. Then a poor sister of one of the giants came in and dared to beg a gift from the bride. "If you want my love and friendship, then give me the golden rings from your fingers," she said. Then Thrym, the lord of giants, said, "Bring me the hammer to bless the bride. Lay Mjolnir on the maiden's lap. Let the two of us thus be hallowed in the name of war, the goddess of vows." When Thor saw the hammer, his heart laughed within him, and he took courage. He first slew Thrym, the lord of giants, then he crushed all the giants' kin. Finally, he slew the old giantess who had begged for a bridal gift. Instead of coins, she got the crack of the hammer. Instead of rings, she received the mark of Mjolnir. The end. So what are your thoughts on the story? Have you all heard of it before?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. I'd never heard of it before. And the first impression was imagining Chris Hemsworth in a dress. And I think this story could be really cool with Marvel's Thor going through the same thing. But one of the things that stood out to me was we can look at it and we can kind of tell like, oh yeah, like it's a little cringy how they put these expectations on women. But at the same time, I can totally imagine this same kind of situation being done today. Like it's actually not so far removed from how at least the culture that I'm a part of here in the United States kind of still feels about the roles of men and women. And it's changing and getting different, but it's kind of surprising how this feels so modern. Like we can kind of tell that we've progressed a little bit since then, but not as much as you might think or hope.
So I've heard this story before, and it's made more interesting too by stories that happen around it. So in the story, we hear about this necklace that Freya had that they borrowed to prove that it was them. And the story of how Freya got that necklace is really interesting because the price for it was that four of the dwarf race men who had created it wanted to sleep with her.
Hmm.
And so it's interesting in this story because to get the necklace, she had agreed to do that. And Loki had immediately gone to Odin and told him what happened and she was shamed. So it's really interesting that in this story, when they're saying like, oh, Freya, would you be willing to marry this guy or pretend to marry him or whatever to get my hammer back? And she's like, no, absolutely not. So yeah, it's interesting to me that like in this story, she completely like puts her foot down and refuses to be part of that kind of a bargain.
And successfully. Like the fact that they can't make her do it is also very telling, I think in a good way.
Yeah, that she's saying like, no, absolutely not. And at least like that's respected. She's not, you know, tied up and dragged over there.
That's one of the things I did like about the story, irrespective of all the other things I didn't like, that Freya said no and she wasn't forced into doing it. And your backstory about the necklace, Katrina, thanks for that. It's really interesting because it talks about the choice. She can do it and she may have done it in the past, but she also has the agency and right to say no.
Yeah, like just because I've done something like this in the past mm-hmm. because I wanted to get something doesn't mean that I'm just going to do it because you want me to do it for something that you want.
Right.
It's like they just assumed that she would be down for it because of, you know, what had happened in the past. But it's like they're surprised that she said no. But she did because exactly what you said, it's her choice of what she wants to do. And she doesn't have as strong of a motivation to help them when there's another way that they can do it, as proven by the story, because they figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And she also, like, at the beginning when they went to her and they were like, hey, can we borrow your feather cloak so that we can do some, you know, recognizance work or whatever? She was like, yes, even if it was made of silver and gold, I would give it to you. Like, I want to help you guys, like, with this project that you're doing. So she was willing to help to an extent, but she definitely, like, held on to that boundary of, no, you're not going to drag me down there to be this guy's bride. That's, no, I'm not playing that game.
Good for her. And talking about the general perception of people for Thor and Loki, given the Avenger movies, Thor is the good one. He's the god of thunder, super powerful, representation of the dominant masculinity. And Loki, who's the bad one, in the story is actually shown to be more tactful, with no inhibition to doing whatever needs to be done, be dressing up as a woman to save the day.
Loki was real slick in this story. Like, I thought that was super interesting.
It's interesting because obviously in Norse mythology, stories with Loki, they are not all great. Like, Loki's behavior is not, how do I put this? Like, collaboration. Like, he's not usually on the same side as anybody. He's on his own side. And so it's interesting because in this story, he's being like an active participant. And what's really interesting about having Loki be the opposite in this story to Thor, which complicates it for me, because like the story being kind of played for laughs comes off almost like transphobic, mm-hmm. because they're like saying, oh, what's funny is this like playing with gender, and like, because there's that creepy idea that people have about transgender people that they're out to trick you,
mm-hmm.
and this story like reinforces that, and that's ugly. You know, that they're trying to say, oh, look, people who don't dress according to social standards are trying to trick you. And that's awful. But what's weird about in the story having Loki next to Thor in the story is that Loki will shapeshift into other genders. And he shapeshifted once into a mare, like a female horse, and was impregnated by another horse, and he gave birth to Odin's 8-legged horse. And Loki isn't great in that story, but the story isn't played for laughs as much. And so it's almost saying like, oh, it's okay to experiment with gender and gender norms. But then this story is very much not, like, it's not pro experimenting with gender, because it's about tricking other people, and that's not pro experimenting with like your gender identity. So yeah, it's just complicated to me that they put Loki in this story, who is comfortable dressing up as a maidservant to go with Thor, but then Thor is very much not comfortable.
You mentioned story coming across as transphobic. So I watched this documentary on Netflix called Disclosure. Jen Richards in the documentary said that when cis men play trans women characters, it reinforces the harmful narrative that trans women are simply men in disguise.
Yeah.
They are not like real women.
Yeah.
So your comments reminded me of that documentary.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was interesting too. I think we kind of already pointed out, but like Thor is basically told like, hey, we're going to dress you up like Freya and take you there. And he's kind of opposed to it. He's like, they're going to think I'm womanly, which it seems clear that that's a bad thing, which is a whole thing in and of itself. But when it comes to Loki, like no one says that Loki even needs to dress up as a woman. Like he could have gone as Loki, mm-hmm. or he could have gone as anything, but he's like, no, I'll go ahead and dress up as a maidservant. Like it's no big deal. He volunteers it himself and goes. And like Katrina was saying, like he doesn't have a problem with that in other stories as well. But I didn't know the whole context around that, but I just thought that was interesting that you have those two sides. And both of these characters' strengths are on display and Thor's weaknesses. Because when they get there, Loki's obviously a skilled at tricking people. So he's there and he's able to come up with all these answers for why Thor's not behaving the way that you would expect for a woman to behave. Where Thor is like completely oblivious. Like he doesn't even try to fool people. He's just himself dressed up. Mm-hmm. And then Loki has to cover for him, which he does well. So you've got like Loki's trickiness and then Thor really gets his chance to shine when he gets his hammer back and cracks everybody's skulls, which is, again, we talk about this like hyper-masculine violence, physical strength.
Another interesting point in the story is that Thor loses his hammer, which represents his masculine power, and he's lost without it. It's like symbolic castration. And on top of that, he has to dress up like a woman. And it's common in our society that if a man dresses up as a woman or acts womanly, somehow it is considered embarrassing or even degrading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And conversely, like for women to act in stereotypically masculine ways is as far as being like strong or mm-hmm. whatever. In some circumstances, not always, but it's more common that a woman acting more stereotypically masculine will be praised versus a man who acts feminine, kind of reinforcing this like binary of like, oh, masculine and feminine are a binary and one of them is better than the other.
Yeah. Like if a woman is saying like, oh, I'm kind of like more like a man than a woman because I'm very like strong and independent. And it's like, okay, yikes. Because like women can be all those things too, but they want to align themselves closer with, you know, the patriarchal male power. And so it is like, if a woman in a story is acting stereotypically masculine, it's like, oh, good for her. But if a man in a story is acting stereotypically feminine, it's like, oh, big yikes.
It reminds me of that commercial that came out several years ago. It's like, I think they talked about, you know, doing something like a girl, like run like a girl, throw like a girl. And they had these younger girls and they told them to do it. And they just like did it, like without thinking about it. They were doing it how they would actually do it. They were acting strong, confident. And then they would say the same thing to younger boys or even older girls. And all of a sudden, when you say it to these young boys and these older girls, it became this kind of like, I don't know, they like put on this weak kind of derogatory kind of a thing. Yeah, exactly. And it's just sad that we're still dealing with this, that like doing something like a girl has a negative connotation when it's like girls and women, the way that they do things is great. It's fine. And it's just, again, like I said at the beginning, it's sad that we're still kind of struggling with this hundreds of years after this story, which talks about lots of the same things, was told and got passed down.
And you know, this is an old story, but even today, it's crazy how the worst thing you can call a woman is a woman with words like bitch. But the worst thing you can call a man is also a woman like bitch or pussy, which is so telling of the societal gender hierarchy.
Yeah. And that's what, like, in this story, you know, Thor is saying like, oh, I don't want people to look at me and call me womanish.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Loki is basically like, do you want your hammer back or not? Like, and like Loki's probably standing there already dressed up like a maidservant and is like, chill. Like, it's totally fine. Who cares what other people think? Let's go get that hammer back, buddy. And it is like, at no point in the story, I think Jeff kind of like pointed this out, at no point in the story, besides putting on the clothes, does Thor even try to be stereotypically feminine, where he's like stuffing as much food into his face as he can. And it's, to me, it's funny because like I think of Little Red Riding Hood, just, you know, when this guy's like, my Freya, what a big appetite you have. And then like Loki's being there like, oh, just, you know, she has a hungry, just trying to, you know, get ready for the wedding night. And like Thor, yeah, is like not even trying because he is so afraid of like, what if somebody does think that I'm like a woman, which would be the worst thing in the world for him. And that's so sad and insulting.
And it is interesting too, that throughout the story, we find out what this culture's idea of what masculinity and femininity were, as far as we know very clearly that eating a lot was not something that was considered to be womanly, or drinking a lot.
Which is true even today. Look at any magazine covers or representation in media. Men are bigger, muscular, and women are tiny, petite. So the gender norms of physical appearances as well haven't changed. The shaming, if you don't conform, is everywhere.
They are pointing out that like, oh, if you were a proper lady, you wouldn't be eating like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, just let women eat until they're full. Gosh, like, leave us alone.
Hear, hear. And did y'all notice the irony of the situation? When Thor lets go of his traditional masculinity and dominance, he actually gets the true power back, the hammer being the symbol of his power.
Yeah.
Oh, that is interesting.
So one thing that is really interesting in stories and through time is it's pointed out that like women don't have big physical power.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to rely on their cleverness. They have to rely on like their wit, which is why it's interesting. He's like paired with Loki, who is known for that. And so I guess, yeah, like the only feminine, stereotypically feminine thing that Thor had to do was be smart.
Right.
That's what he had to do. Is he had to use his, well, he had to use his brother's wit and intelligence to trick this giant into getting what he wanted, instead of just muscling his way through it like a brute.
Which I guess can be a positive lesson from the story, that Thor had all these societal norms and expectations in his mind, but had to get rid of them for the benefit of the same society. So even though he was reluctant then, but hopefully this incident and experience opened his mind, and he would probably be more open to different ways in future.
It'd be interesting to see this like written out more in like a modern time and see how we could show that character growth. Because it would be interesting to see Thor have character growth where he realized women can be powerful. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff where it's like when you're looking at a story and you're like, oh, there's a lot of problems with this because of, you know, the time period that it came from. And then looking at it and saying like, okay, how could this be changed so that the message was all around positive?
And that is the power of narrative. So maybe this story can open up the conversation that irrespective of your gender, you can behave, dress however you like. And that should be absolutely fine.
That's what I really enjoyed, the conversation about toxic masculinity that's kind of been going on, mm-hmm. where it is looking at like what traits are we having foisted on men, and like Thor kind of embodies so many of those like toxic traits, where it is like, oh, you have to be hyper-violent and hyper-sexual. And I love that that conversation is happening, and they're saying, like, hey, things that we've traditionally said were feminine qualities, like talking about your feelings and cooperating, interpersonal skills, which, again, not, those aren't... Those should not be exclusively feminine qualities. But there is more of a conversation happening about how, you know, we should be expecting that from men. And so even though, yeah, there has been a lot of push of like, oh, women should be like in STEM and leadership positions, which I completely agree with all of that. They should. But I think there also is a conversation that is getting louder and louder about how, you know, men need to have some of those what are traditionally considered feminine qualities.
Right. And I guess, you know, hopefully there'll be a day where these are just qualities and...
Yeah.
Which is for a person.
Just human qualities.
Right.
That's like still lots and lots of work to be done and conversations to be had on, you know, all of these issues. But yeah. The fact that more and more people are having the conversation is encouraging.
Yes, it is. Well, on that note, I want to thank you all for coming on the show and sharing your thoughts on the story and also the background story about the necklace you told Katrina. It definitely gave more context to that part of the story.
No problem. Thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah, thanks. It was a lot of fun.
So everyone, check out the Fairy Tellers on Instagram and...
find our podcast.
Yes, please do. And I wish you both and everyone listening a happy and safe 2022.
Yes. Happy New Year.
On that note, bye for now.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Let me know your thoughts on the story and our discussion by emailing me on woketalespodcast@gmail.com or through social media at woketalespodcast on Instagram and woketalespod on Twitter. And please rate, review, and like Woke Tales Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe so you can easily access our weekly stories. If you have any story recommendations, or if you want to come dissect and analyze a story with me, give me a shout out on email or social media, because whatever you do, keep dissecting and keep analyzing.